In the name of Jesus, amen. Jesus has sent the disciples away in their boat so that he may have some time alone to pray. A storm arises on the Sea of Galilee, as is common. The disciples struggle against the wind and struggle against the waves, and they seem to be getting nowhere. The harder they pull the oars, the more they seem to stay in the same place. Ever felt that way about life? The harder you work, the farther behind you get. Well, they row and they row and they row and they row through the night, past midnight, till 3 a.m. The fourth watch of the night. 3 a.m. And that's when they look out on the water and they see the figure of a man. And that man is walking on the water. Now, these are sane and rational men. At least 4 of them are fishermen. They know the ways of the sea. They know how the light on the water can play tricks on you. And they are still terrified. Understandably so. I mean, who wouldn't be? They know that men cannot walk on water. So they assumed it was a phantom, an apparition, a phantasma, a ghost, we might say. So they cry out in fear. I mean, who wouldn't? You're in a boat in the middle of a storm at 3 a.m. out alone, and there's a figure walking towards you on the waves. Well, seeing isn't believing. But hearing is. As St. Paul reminds us, faith comes by hearing the word of Christ. So Jesus speaks. Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. It is I. Ego eimi in Greek. He's not just saying, hey, it's me. He's saying, it's me. In a way that invokes the divine name, I am. The one who appeared to Moses in the burning bush, I am who I am. St. Matthew, speaking to a Jewish audience, is reluctant to use that phrase, ego eimi, unless he really wants to make a point. And here, he doesn't want you to miss it. Jesus says, have courage. I am Yahweh. Don't be afraid. Peter wasn't so sure. The others probably weren't either, but you know that Peter tends to say whatever's on his mind. Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. That's pretty definitive. Phantoms might speak, but they have no power to do anything, much less make a man walk on water. And so Jesus says, come. One word. But it's no ordinary word. It is the word from the word incarnate, the word made flesh, the word through whom all things were made, the word that laid the foundations of the earth, that shut the seas behind its doors, the word that said to the waves of the deep, thus far shall you come and no farther. This is the same word that said, let there be light, and light was. The same word that said to Lazarus, come out. And he did. So when Jesus says to Peter, come, that's all it takes to bring him out of the boat and start walking on the surface of the tumultuous deep, the surface of the sea. Now, side note, the Canaanite sea god was called Yam, and he was the god of the deep and the god of chaos. One could easily see the 12 having a flash of panic and just wondering just for a minute that if maybe Yam was real and had set this storm upon them. The sea is also a personification of death, which is why in his Revelation, St. John says that there is no sea in the new heaven and the new earth. Fishermen have a healthy fear of the sea, a deep respect for it. The superstitious ones even sacrificed to the sea because the sea was filled with all sorts of creatures. Leviathan, Behemoth, Rahav, the great sea monsters. The sea was a picture of death that swallowed you whole and did not spit you back out again. And the deep is what covered the earth in the beginning, when the Spirit of God hovered over its face and Almighty God spoke his creative and ordering word over it. So when Jesus walks on the water, he is showing not only his lordship over creation, but also his lordship over death. He's walking on the back of Leviathan, treading the old serpent underfoot, treading upon Yom as if he's just a doormat. And when St. Peter does it, he's doing the same. He's defying death itself and walking on its back as though it were solid ground. It's a picture of the resurrection, really. St. Peter does this not on the strength of his own buoyancy, not in the power of his own thoughts, but in the power of that one little word that Jesus spoke, come. One word carries St. Peter from the boat across the water and to Jesus. Now, don't try this on your own. You have no such word from Jesus. And supported by your own piety and your own wishful thinking, you'd sink like a rock. Because you have a different word spoken to you in the waters of your baptism. Justified. Declared righteous before God. Forgiven. Holy. And that word, too, does what it says. You don't walk on water, you live in the waters of your baptism, drowned in forgiveness, buried with Jesus in his death, living with Jesus in his life. And that is as sure and certain as the word that called Peter to tread upon the deep. So now St. Peter stands with Jesus atop the water, defying physics. And so he looks around and he sees the white caps and he hears the wind. And that's when the fear grips him. He's just walked across the water to Jesus and only now realizes, wait a minute, you can't walk on water. And he starts to sink. See what happens when you lose your focus on the word? You don't know where to look. And so you sink into death itself. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. That's where Peter's eyes need to be, on Jesus. Not on the wind, not on the waves, not on the boat, but on Jesus. Nowhere but Jesus. The same with you. Look around at the world. Look inside of yourself. And doubts will rise, fears will grow, and you will sink like a rock. And that's why we're here every Sunday to hear the word, to receive the supper. Because there are so many ways that this life can go so very wrong. So many distractions, so many causes of doubt. So that when you lose sight of Jesus, and I don't mean Jesus in your hearts, or Jesus in your thoughts, or Jesus in your prayers, but Jesus in the Word, Jesus in the supper, Jesus in the gathering of two or three come together in his name. When you lose the objective sight of the crucified Christ, that's when you drown. You drown in despair, and you drown in guilt, and you drown in fear, and you drown in your doubts, and you drown in your failings, and you drown in your weaknesses, you drown in sin and death. Now, this is not to say, believe in Jesus and you can walk on water, or do anything that you set your mind to, no matter how improbable it might be. No. This gospel is not about the power of positive thinking. So pay no attention to what you see on TV or read in the latest Christian bestseller. This is about the power of Christ Jesus' word to do what it says over and against your doubt. The power of God's word to do what it says over and against your fear and over and against your unbelief. If Jesus can make Peter walk on the water with nothing but a word, imagine what he will do on the last day when he says to the dead, "Arise." What do you think will happen? The word of Christ does what it says, after all. So Peter looks around at the wind, and he looks around at the waves, and he starts to sink. And he prays that one little prayer that we all have at our disposal. "Lord, save me." And that is faith's little prayer. Peter was a big, bold man. Fishermen had to be like that. These were no wimps. And yet he cries out, "Lord, save me." Because Jesus is all that Peter has at that moment. And Jesus is all that Peter needs. And that's your prayer too. That's the prayer out of your baptism when it seems like you're going to drown and there's nothing to hold on to but Jesus. "Lord, save me." And immediately, Jesus reaches out his hand and takes hold of Peter. Freeze that moment in your mind. Peter sinking and panicking and shouting, "Lord, save me." And Jesus reaches out his strong and sure hand and grabs hold of Peter. Whose grip matters at that moment? And we're so clever in our sin-addled minds to think that we have it all under control, don't we? "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Why do you doubt? Because you don't trust the Word of God. You think you need to add something to it. It's deep within us, that horrible, evil, doubting question. Did God really say? Does His word really work? Am I really forgiven? Am I really holy before God? How can I be sure? By the time they were back in the boat, the wind had stopped. The waves were quiet, and the disciples were staring at Jesus, mouths agape, and then worshiping him. I mean, what else can you do at that point but worship him and confess him? Truly, you are the Son of God, and he is. No one but the Son, the eternal Word, can pull this off. Because the power of the word does what it says. Your Lord Jesus comes to you when you are weakest and most exhausted, when you can't pull the oars any longer, when the depths of death have had their way with you, when you're ready to give up, and he speaks a sure and certain and powerful word to you. Forgiven. And you are, because he says so. You are God's own child because he says so. You stand justified before God's judgment seat because he says so. And that word is sure and it is certain. It is the same word that caused Peter to walk on the water. It is the same word that will raise you up on the last day to walk on death and the grave and into life everlasting. You can be sure of it. Because the word of Christ always does what it says. Amen.